speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please sit down. It's one of the strange things about being human that we often don't know what will make us content. It could be very simple. We might be made content, for example, if we feel hungry, we take some food, and then we feel replete and content. And with basic things like that, it does seem to work in that simple way, with food and water, staying out of danger, getting some sleep. It's all fairly simple. But when those basic needs are met, we still aren't quite content. Sometimes, of course, we can get fixated on those basic things and want ever more food, ever more wealth, ever more possessions. And that does us no good, getting fixated on those things, and in the end becomes a threat to our happiness and a threat to other people. And St. Paul warns us about it. But actually, I don't think that is what happens to most people. I think most of us move on when those basic needs are met, and they start wanting other things instead. Then they start wanting relationships and emotional satisfaction and success, the esteem of other people. But the curious thing is that the same problem breaks out again there. We think we want material things, but when we have them, they don't really satisfy us. And then we think we want relationships and the esteem of other people and so on. But when we've got them, they don't satisfy us either. And I've got quite a number of friends who have been remarkably successful in providing not only for the basic things of their lives, but also in finding those other things as well. Finding good relationships, winning the esteem of other people. But still, there's a restlessness, still they're not satisfied. Then perhaps we start to turn inwards. We want to understand ourselves better, feel better about ourselves. And that's led to what you might see as a mass movement into counseling and psychotherapy. And that can be very helpful. But still, it doesn't seem to satisfy us completely. And beyond that, people turn to spirituality. You see advertisements from the London Underground for how to learn to meditate. There's a meditation shop in King's Parade. Spirituality seems in some ways to be the last resort when you've tried everything else. When people have tried all the other things and found them wanting, they at last turn to spirituality and give that a try. And not without reason, because spiritual practice can and does change people. And that's not just the wishful thinking of a vicar. There's actually quite good scientific evidence for the way prayer and other forms of spiritual practice change people. Prayer and meditation are associated with better subjective well-being, with coping better with illness. They're associated with reduced dependence on drugs and alcohol and so on. This isn't the time and place to give a detailed lecture on that scientific evidence, but it exists. And it's beyond reasonable doubt that spiritual practice, such as prayer and meditation, does help to transform people for the better. But I don't think the research is a good guide to the more subtle effects of prayer and spiritual practice. You can often sense when someone's prayerful. Rowan Williams, for example, is obviously a prayerful person, one of the most prayerful people I've ever met. And of the people you know, take a moment to think, who is perhaps the most obviously prayerful person. And ask yourself what it is about them that makes you convinced that they're prayerful. It's a subtle matter. There's probably a sense of depth, a sense that they don't do things impulsively but thoughtfully, coming from some deep place, a sense that they hang together rather than being fragmented, that they're consistent rather than unpredictable, a sense that their words and feelings and actions all hang together, that they are what you see. They mean what they say and do what they say they will. A sense that they focus on what they're doing rather than being distracted by one thing or another, doing one thing and thinking about something else. A sense that they notice things. I think a person of prayer is observant, like a good policeman or a good therapist. They've got their eyes and ears open. They realize the significance of what they see and hear. And there's perhaps a sense that they realize the potential significance of their words and actions, and realize that even small encounters can be very significant for the people they're with and have far-reaching consequences. I think that's my list of the hallmarks of a person of prayer, and I don't know whether yours would be similar. And if that's right, if that's what prayer and spiritual practice does for people, it's not surprising that even quite superficial scientific research demonstrates the benefits of prayer and meditation. How do these benefits come about? Through having times when we concentrate on deep inner stillness. That refreshes us. It comes like water on dry ground. Water helps our bodily organs to function better. We get dehydrated, and that's bad for our health. But most of us are spiritually dehydrated much of the time. And times of prayer and meditation are like the oasis in a desert. There are times when we can drink and replenish. But it goes further. If you have special times of prayer and meditation, you gradually develop a capacity to do most things prayerfully, to do them in a way that has the hallmarks of a person of prayer. And then we become a little less dependent on finding those oasis times, though they're still very beneficial. We find, as Jesus promised the woman at the well, that there are springs of living water welling up within us. Regular prayer and spiritual practice gets those wellsprings going. And then we can draw constantly on spiritual resources beyond ourselves. And being able to draw on those deep spiritual wellsprings transforms us through and through. Transforms us body, mind, and spirit. Transforms our thoughts and feelings and actions. It can bring that quality of spiritual depth that we call eternal life. It can bring the transformation and renewal of which St. Paul spoke in our New Testament lesson this morning. It brings healing and wholeness. And does it satisfy? Well, it depends. This turn to spirituality can take healthy and unhealthy forms. It can just be another phase in our endless self-obsession. Turning to spirituality can just be another phase in turning to ourselves. Or it can eventually be a genuine turn to that being of truth and light and love that is of the source of everything in the world, that being that we call God, that being that we see revealed to us in Jesus Christ. The journey through spirituality can be a path of genuine spiritual discovery and transformation. But there are traps for the unwary. And there are two things in particular that can easily derail us. If we pursue prayer and meditation for the good they can do us, rather than for their own sake, rather than because we're drawn to the spiritual world that they connect us with, well, we benefit from them a bit, perhaps, but less than we might. Prayer and meditation undertaken for its own sake does us more good than if we undertake it because of the good it will do us. And the other trap is pride, feeling that we're getting rather good at all this, that we're getting on in prayer and meditation and our spiritual life. We're getting better at it than most other people. That's a disaster. Things work best if we have a growing sense of connection with God. If our prayer life just feels right, feels good, feels like coming home to where we belong, then we're drawn to prayer and meditation increasingly. Not trying to manipulate the resources of the spiritual world for our own ends, but just developing a natural bond with the spiritual world and with that great spiritual being we call God. And then we're truly on the path to transformation. It's a long, hard road, this, but many people eventually learn the hard way that it does them no good to store up earthly treasures, whereas Jesus puts it, moth and rust corrupt, but to store up spiritual treasures. Eventually, we learn that that's what brings us satisfaction. And spiritual practice is such a powerful tool of personal transformation that it's not surprising that people turn to it to renew and to remake themselves. And I don't think it would be going too far to say that it's the most powerful tool of personal transformation that there is. There's nothing to match it. And it can be God's way of leading us to higher things. Just as I think natural selection was God's way of bringing about a species in which he could become incarnate. Spirituality is God's way of giving us the tools to grow towards him. There are great signs of spiritual hunger and restlessness in our times. Humanity seems to stand at a moment of great spiritual opportunity. And the big question is, will all this spiritual restlessness lead to a birth of a new and deeper spirituality? The Holy Spirit is leading us towards that. Many people are weary with their restless seeking after one thing or another, possessions, relationships, self-understanding. And when people are weary with all that, Jesus says to them, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will refresh you." In Christ, we see exemplified that being of life and love and light who's the source of everything. And it's that being to whom we must turn if our restless hearts are to find satisfaction. As Augustine said, our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. So let us pray that humanity will discover, through its constant restless searching, that the only true answer to that restlessness comes from that great spiritual being we call God. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Let me close with a prayer of Augustine's. Almighty God, in whom we live and move and have our being, you've made us for yourself, so that our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Grant us purity of heart and strength of purpose, that no selfish passion may hinder us from knowing your will, no weakness from doing it, but that in your light we may see light clearly, and in your service find our perfect freedom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.